This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So anytime somebody asks me to list my favorite hitters of all time, this, even though I saw him at the back end, this gentleman always makes my list. First of all, I'm always going to go with the lefty. So Matty Lee's on the list. Brett, of course, the great Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs. Rod Carew was always on that list. And Rod Carew is with us here for the first time. It's an honor. 18 All-Star games, 7 batting titles, Rookie of the Year, yup. MVP, yup. Hall of Famer, one of the greats. And he's got a book out which chronicles some heartbreak and some personal tragedy. Really looking forward to this. Rod, Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today, sir?
Good. Great.
Good to have you. You know, I've always, you could just tell my voice. I've always admired you as a player. I've always wondered, you know, there's some really unique stances in baseball history, you know, from Babe Ruth through, you know, players now. Yours is among the most unique because it almost seems like the way your body was tilted back, it almost seems like it would almost obstruct or make it harder to hit. How did you come up with, like, was that your batting stance your whole life? Because it's one of the most unique ones out there.
No, it wasn't. You know, Nolan Ryan actually changed my batting stance.
Wow.
You know, he punched me out 29 times, and I'm like number 3 on his list. So I had to do some adjusting to make sure that I could catch up to him and he wouldn't keep striking me out. So I started working on different ways of hitting and extra batting practice and trying to find something comfortable. Because if you stand up at home plate, facing Nolan Ryan, and he's throwing you those high fastballs that move and rise, you know, you're going to swing and miss. And I did a lot of that. So I just decided, you know, I've got to force him to bring the ball down, because when it's down, it's a lot straighter.
Yep.
Than when it's up, it just takes off. So I monkeyed around with different stances and came up with one that I felt that was comfortable against the different pitchers that I was facing.
But see, that's first of all, it speaks to your hand-eye coordination, which is off the charts. It's surgeon-like. Otherwise, you couldn't do that. And your pitch recognition. But that's amazing to me, Rod, because, you know, you were in the game before Nolan Ryan was in the game. So you had an established stance before Nolan came along with the Angels in the early 70s. So you were a high average guy. I could see if somebody's hitting 230 and he's like, you know what, let me modify, let me overhaul, let me tweak this thing, it's not working. You were a guy who consistently put your bat on the ball, and then a couple of years in, you changed. That is amazing. I never knew that. Well, that couldn't – you make it sound like it was easy, but it couldn't have been easy.
Well, if you work at it, and I worked on it all the time, so it became easy. I wanted it to be that I could change from pitch to pitch or at bat to at bat and still feel comfortable. And it worked out fine for me. So
yes, it did. Yes, it did.
You know, Rod, one of the things that drew me into baseball was some of the athletic players. And Ricky Henderson was one that just, he always caught my eye because he was a base stealer. And I never played baseball at a high level, but if I would have, I would have been a base stealer because I was fast. And so I was looking through some of your statistics and some of the accolades that you have. And I come across this stat that in 1969, you were one of 41 people at the time to steal every base in an inning, which is just insane. You know, you go to second to third. third, and you ultimately steal home. And, you know, I noticed that later in your career, at least 5 or 6 years in, you started to, you know, get up to 30, 49, you know, stolen bases. The art of stealing a base is what? I mean, because we don't see it as much as we used to in baseball anymore. But what made it such a big part of your game, and why was it so important?
Well, you know, I ran well, so my job was to get on base, try and steal a base, and set up a RBI situation for the next guy that's coming up after me. But it's all about learning the pitchers, studying pitchers, see what their moves are like. And the more that you get in tune with that, it becomes easy. I know Gene Mock didn't like me stealing bases a lot because he felt that he would rather have me in the lineup every day than pulling a leg muscle and I'm out for a week or 2 weeks. So
he
really kept my stolen bases down because of that reason.
Look at you blaming your old skipper. Look at Rod passing the buck.
Well, you know,
I hear you.
It's true.
I hear you, man.
He said, I'd rather have you in the lineup every day than, you know, have missed you for 10 days to 2 weeks. So I thought it was a smart idea myself.
I don't blame him. So that's Rod Carew, one of the great hitters of all time, period. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You've got a book, and we want to get into some of the items because it's not, you know, hasn't all been pleasant for you for sure. But I do have one more baseball question for you. You know, Tony Gwynn passed away. His anniversary was yesterday. I mentioned Wade Boggs before, a high contact, low home run guy. Ichiro was the same way. It seems like a lot of these players that, you know, hit 340, 350, not a lot of bombs, they all think strongly that if they would have sacrificed average, they could have been high-volume home run hitters. Mm. Do you believe the same thing about yourself or no?
Yeah, well, I knew that I could probably hit about 15 or 20 home runs. But then, like you said, you know, the average is going to suffer. And our job is to get on base as much as we can. So, you know, trying to hit 5 or 10 home runs a year wasn't beneficial to myself or to the club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with what I did best. You know, I used the whole field to hit, and I was fortunate enough to able to get pitches that I could hit where I wanted them to go and things like that. And so from reading the pitchers, understanding the pitchers, and like in Little League, we always say just hit the ball, you know. So my job was just to hit the ball and get on base.
Yeah, Rod, gotcha. I know you've, just like all of us, have been following some of the developments that are happening around this 2020 season, and it's been 25-plus years, a quarter of a century, with relative peace in Major League Baseball, but it seems like that's coming to an end. What are your thoughts on where the season is headed from a player and owner relationship standpoint? Because it seems really ugly right now.
Yeah, it isn't because of this pandemic that we have. I don't see why they want to play, because I think you're putting a lot of players in danger of maybe contact in this disease and not knowing what it's going to do to them. But I would just say let the season go.
What do you think that does to the fans, though, Rod?
Well, you know, fans have to understand. You know, I don't want to watch a baseball game with no one in the stands, because to me it's not exciting that way. Even though, you know, they're going to get their kicks out of it, I think it's crazy. I'm more concerned about the players and the players' families than I am about playing baseball at this time.
It's not an irresponsible take. That's Rod Carew. The book is entitled One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs, and you were dealt a few tough ones. I know your daughter, leukemia, that was a battle that must have been unspeakable. And the heart transplant that you had, and I mean, I remember when you went in for this, the outpouring, because nobody knew the outcome, but I just remember seeing the outpour of hope and prayer and emotion. First of all, how are you feeling? Do you feel the same?
Well, I feel great. You know what? I have a Maserati inside of me now. The Volkswagen is gone. You know, but I feel great, and you know, believe it or not, the young man that I received a heart and kidney from, I met him when he was about 11 years old. He went to school with my son and my daughter, and I was there for a basketball game that day. And he came up to me, and he introduced himself. He says, "You're Rod Carew, huh?" I says, "Yeah." I says, "Who are you?" He says, "Oh, I'm Conrad Ruling, and I'm going to be an athlete when I grow up."
Oh, wow.
So I said, "You know what? It's good to be an athlete, but study your books first. I get good grades." He says, "Oh, I'm a good student." I says, "Okay." 18 years later, this young man turned around and saved my life, gave me his heart and gave me a kidney. And I think it was all in God's planning, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, my God.
You detail the stories in the book. I mean, what are we going to find out reading this book? Because obviously your career is storied, but it sounds like your life has some really interesting twists and turns that people will find inspirational or eye-opening.
Well, you know, as a kid, I was abused, and I mean really abused by my dad. And, you know, my dream was to play in the big leagues one day, to play baseball. And I realized that, too. I was able to accomplish that and do a lot of things in baseball. But my main objective was to do what Jackie Robinson said, you know, try and help someone else. And when you can make meaning of someone else's life, then you're doing a good job. And for this kid, you know, he ended up playing with the Jets, and he also played with the Ravens. And then he was let go and was working out, hoping to sign with somebody else, had an aneurysm. And I was high up on the list as far as, you know, getting a new heart.
Yeah.
And I think I had about 5 or 6 days to go because I was wearing a device that kept me alive for 14 months, and it was running out. And 6 days later, you know, I was fortunate enough to get this kid's heart, and now I'm doing fine. You know, everything is good. I can't thank him or his parents for making sure that I'm alive today.
You sound amazing. I'm curious, Rod, when you know that you have the donor, and, you know, it's like you're going to get the knee sculpt or, you know, a baseball player, a little Tommy John surgery. We're not talking, you know, ligaments. I mean, we're talking a muscle, obviously, the heart. But we're not talking about something, my Achilles snap like Kevin. We're talking about a heart transplant.
Right.
You know, and kidney. Your most private moments before you actually went in for the procedure. I mean, you have to think about not making it through, right? You have to. It's natural.
Yes, I did.
That like?
You know, I told my wife, I says, "Honey," and I told God also because I talked to him a lot because I have faith, and I've always felt that he was right there with me, making sure that I'm okay. And I told him, I says, "Father, I'm not afraid to die. You can take me when you want to, and that's okay." And then I told my wife, I says, "Honey, if there's nothing more they can do for me, just let me go, you know, just let me go in peace and join my father and join my daughter in heaven someplace." So I didn't even worry about it. Mm-hmm. The nurses got nuts with me because I would scream out, you know, during my sleep at night, I'm not afraid to die, Father. You can take me whenever you want. And that's what I would do every night. I said, "Boy, we got to shut that guy up, you know." But I tell you what, if you're a believer, if you have faith, things do come true. And that's what my mom taught me ever since I was a kid. Don't worry about anything. God's going to be in your back pocket, and he's going to take care of you. And God, you know, I am so blessed. So blessed.
You are, man. I mean, this is a very poignant conversation. I wish we had a lot more time. We don't. The name of the book is called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. The generation of baseball fans that saw you in your prime, They don't. I don't have to tell them anything. They knew that. They know Rod's one of the best of all time. For those who saw you at the tail end, like me, I know you're one of the best of all time. But I have one baseball question before we go. One more, because and this is an exclusive category. I wouldn't ask this of everybody, but since you are one of the all-time greats, I need to hear your opinion on who do you truly think is the greatest baseball player of all time, in Rod Carew's mind.
In my mind, Willie Mays.
Okay.
Because Willie Mays could do it all. He could run. He could hit for power. He had a great throwing arm. He did it all, you know. So, you know, you have five tools. They always talk about five tools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, the sixth tool is your head,
mm-hmm.
your brain. And Willie had that too. So, to me, he was a complete player.
My dad says the same. My dad says Willie Mays as well. Growing up a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and my dad says that. So, I think you guys are sharing the same brain. It's an absolute honor. How great was this, Tiki? Was this awesome?
Continued blessings to you, Rod. Your story is amazing. I'm looking forward to getting this book when we get out of this quarantine situation, or at least stay at home situation that we're stuck in now. Blessings to you, man. Seriously.
If we have 1 minute, I'd like to ask Tiki a question.
Go ahead. Yes.
How was it to play in the big one?
Well, I played and got beat up in my big one. We played in the Ravens in 2000, which is one of the greatest defense ever in the National Football League. And the stage was unreal, right? The pomp and circumstance, people from, you know, journalists from Japan were interviewing me. And you can use that platform to great strengths if you do it the right way, even if you lose. And so that's what I remember. I don't remember the beatdown that the Ravens gave us, but it was pretty amazing. And then I went a couple years later to my brother's. So I was living it vicariously through my twin brother, who had the exact opposite result. They destroyed the Oakland Raiders in their Super Bowl. So I kind of saw it through my brother's eyes and the other side. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and the reason I asked is because Ernie Banks and Billy Williams and myself, for all that we did during the regular season, we were never able to play in the big one.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I was just wondering.
Yeah, yeah. No, you missed out. But you had a fantastic career, and you'll always be remembered. That is for sure.
Thanks so much, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.